You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit preview podcast for SB Nation, where we talk about the Detroit Lions' upcoming matchup against, this week, the Minnesota Vikings, Part 2 in Minnesota. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I am the host of Pride of Detroit's First Bite podcast, and I'm also the managing editor over at PrideDetroit.com. With me tonight, Ryan Matthews, the editor and writer and utility guy and co-host of the POD cast. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I think I say that more oftentimes than not, but I truly mean it this time.
There you go. We've got Ryan in a fantastic mood. And you know what? We are going to take First Bite in a little bit of a different direction this week. We know a lot of you might not be that enthusiastic for the game, so probably not that interested in the nitty-gritty of the matchup with the Vikings. That being said, we will have a Vikings guest, Arif Hassan, later in this podcast. But for the first segment of this podcast, we are just going to focus on Lions. We're going to talk about things that we're looking for in this game from the Lions perspective, things that maybe you guys can get engaged with the game, because obviously wins and losses are not that important at this point. Getting to know the team, maybe getting to a look at certain players might be a little more interesting from a viewing perspective. So that's what we're going to tackle in this first segment, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty stuff for those of you still interested in the Lions opponent and all that in a few minutes. But Ryan, let's start with you. What's one thing you are going to look forward to in this game, if you're still watching at this point? Are you still watching at this point?
I'm still watching because I work for Pride of Detroit.
Attaboy. Great answer. Great answer.
It's a company answer, but it's an honest answer. And I think for me at this point, we talked about it on the podcast last week when we were reviewing the Thanksgiving Day game, but Amani Oruorie, mm-hmm. I think seeing him out there against a couple of elite receivers, potentially, yeah, should Adam Thielen play. I know that he didn't practice today. He didn't go through the team walkthrough, and he has missed close to like a month of football now, but regardless, it'll be a test no matter what, because you know Slay will probably be following around Diggs, and it's not like the Vikings necessarily have slouches towards the depth end of their wide receiver track. But more so, just if Amani Oruorie can kind of hold his own against another elite NFL passing offense. And I think that's what the Minnesota Vikings are. So if he can turn what maybe some people might still think is a fluke or coincidence at this point, just because he's had a couple of good games, to string a third game together, we see what that kind of did for Bo Scarborough. I think he's kind of won a lot of people over, even though Dairy Sanders was available for a little bit of the week before he was picked up. But I think it's going to be a big game for Amani Oruorie.
Yeah, I mean, and it's worth putting those first two performances in context, right? Like Dwayne Haskins and Mitchell Trubisky.
Totally, right? And then, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback, but I think he's better than those two guys.
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins, let's be honest right now. I think he's number two in passer rating. Like, he's actually, like, I think this game first rolled around, there was a lot of skepticism about him, and rightfully so. You know, he hasn't played well in big moments. There was that weird 1 or 2 week feud, or not feud, but, you know, controversy between him and Stephon Diggs. But give him credit. Like, he's played well. He played well on Monday night. It certainly wasn't his fault they lost that game. He's held his own. And so, yeah, even with or without Adam Thielen, I think this is a big test for Amani Oruorie. And it's not going to stop after this one, right? They got the Bucs coming up with a good duo of receivers there and, you know, very hit or miss quarterback. But and then Aaron Rodgers in week 17. Now, you also have to wonder what the Lions are exactly going to do with that number two cornerback position, because Rashawn Melvin returned to practice today. And so what do the Lions do there? And I'm very interested. Maybe they split time. Maybe Rashawn Melvin just takes over. It wouldn't make a lot of sense considering Rashawn Melvin's on a 1-year deal, but a lot of things this team has done with this roster as of late don't make a lot of sense. They're bringing back Kerryon Johnson. Matthew Stafford is still on the 53. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Rashawn Melvin necessarily take back over that number two corner position.
Right. And that's exactly what I was going to say. Not a lot of things this organization has done as of late have made sense. So, what do you got? What are you paying attention to in this week's game?
I think the big thing that I'm looking for, and it's something that we haven't seen all year, and that's the defensive line fully quote unquote healthy for this game. We literally have not seen a single game in which Mike Daniels, Deshaun Hand, Trey Flowers, Damon Harrison, and Ashawn Robinson were all active. And right now it looks like it's trending that way. Damon Harrison, who missed last game, was a full participant in Wednesday's practice. The only other guy on the injury report is Deshaun Hand, who's been dealing with that ankle injury, but he played last week. So unless he re-aggravated it in a way that threatens his availability this week, we're going to finally get that defensive line that was all hyped up off season. And with the Vikings, Riley Reiff might not play in this game, so they might not have an offensive line that's full ready to go. The Lions finally have that defensive line that was promised to be so good. Can we see it be good now? Once, just one game for them. It won't matter much in the long scheme, because I kind of doubt Mike Daniels will be back. Ashawn Robinson might not be back. I feel like we kind of missed out on the shot of the defensive line being good, but I'd like to just see it for one game, just to see it, just for entertainment purposes. I'd love to see them, live up to their billing, even if it's just for 1 week in Minnesota.
Yeah, I would like to see it too, even though it's, 7 weeks and millions of dollars too short.
Yeah, sure.
It would be cool to see what could have been. I'm not as excited about this as you are, I don't think, but it at least gives Lions fans something to, I guess, romanticize about.
You know what it is? I think I just don't want to feel like an idiot that bought into to fool's gold. I want to just be like, you know what? The reason that when I got all excited that Mike Daniels signed in Detroit, I want to feel validated at least a little bit. And maybe I can turn around and be like, you know what? Lions just got unlucky. The defensive line would have destroyed this division, would have destroyed this league. They would have made the playoffs. They would have won a Super Bowl, but it just didn't fall. The cards just didn't fall their way.
Wow, man, that is some serious validation you're seeking. And I really hope that you get all of it. I hope you run victory laps around Twitter so much that your fingers hurt.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Call it delusion, call it validation, whatever you want. I want it.
And I hope you get it, my friend.
Thank you.
The one other thing that I'm looking forward to, and I think a lot of Lions fans are probably interested in seeing, is David Blau part two.
Okay.
Redux.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are excited about seeing David Blau. And I think people are excited about seeing David Blau because they're interested in whether or not the Lions might have the backup quarterback position figured out.
After 15 tries this year.
Right. After a bunch of tries this year, after being blocked by the XFL, they traded for David Blau, got Jeff Driskel on the roster. It's been a few years, right, since the Lions have felt comfortable with the backup quarterback, probably all the way back to Sean Hill.
Yeah.
And then we're talking quite a bit of time in between then and now. I don't think that Lions fans, even if David Blau has an average game against Minnesota, which I think is probably your ceiling, that should be your expectation, I think, is to have an average game. Uh-huh. Against Minnesota, that should be the highest your expectations go. But I still don't think that after two games, we want to cash those checks that say that he's the backup quarterback of the future that everybody can endear themselves to and romanticize the way that every other backup quarterback in Detroit has been romanticized ever since the dawn of time. So But I'm interested nonetheless to see him play because he did have a really good, I think he had a really good first half against Chicago. I want to see whether or not how he performs like in the third quarter. Like there's some nuances, right, that I want to see with David Blau. Like if we put this replacement level quarterback in, how is he performing differently than Matthew Stafford did throughout the season? And it's almost kind of like this little experiment. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. And I think another thing to kind of throw into the mix here is how will a week of practice help him? Because you have to remember last week he came in cold. He came in not running a single full speed drill with any of his players. Can you imagine that throwing to a guy like Kenny Galladay without even knowing what it's like to throw to a full speed Kenny Galladay? That's what he had to do.
Well, he did it really well on the third try.
He did. And so, I mean, you have to factor that in. We saw how he performed against a good Bears defense last week. He's facing a really good defense again this week. And so I would say two promising starts against good divisional opponents, one on the road. That would be a very promising start to a rookie's career as a backup quarterback in Detroit. And you're right to say you got to hold your horses here. You can't declare him the next Sean Hill or whatever you want to declare a backup quarterback. I don't know. What's the peak of backup quarterbacking? Is it Sean Hill?
In Detroit, I think it might be.
Where's it anywhere? Nick Foles?
I mean, that is probably the quintessential example, right? Because
but where's he now?
Well, that's what
backup
I'm saying.
Quarterback
like,
again.
Well, that's where he's best suited.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that's something. I would rather watch Matthew Stafford against the Vikings. Not now. I'm not saying I'd rather watch a broken back Matthew Stafford, but you know, on a general game day, I'd rather watch Matthew Stafford rather than David Blau. But he does definitely provide some intrigue, I think, for this game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we missed the opportunity to say Patriots backup quarterback X.
That's the peak. Yeah,
that's the peak. Whoever
so
it is,
we're looking to trade David Blau in 2021 for a second rounder.
Yes, that's his peak status.
All right, and with that, I think we're going to wrap up the first segment here. When we come back, we're going to have Arif Hassan from The Athletic Minnesota. He's going to tell us all about the Minnesota Vikings, how they're feeling after that tough loss to Seattle, how they match up against the Detroit Lions, and maybe what our expectations going forward for this team. Are they a Super Bowl team? Will they win the division? Will they have a Minneapolis miracle that devastates the team? We'll find out when we come back. And welcome back to First Bite, your Pride of Detroit preview podcast. As promised, we're bringing in our Vikings guest for this week, week 14 already of the NFL, Arif Hassan from The Athletic. Arif, how are we doing? Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, I'm doing great. No, thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. As much as maybe we're not all that interested in getting into the nitty-gritty with the Vikings because it might be kind of sad for us, we're going to do it anyways. But let's start just strictly on Vikings and not necessarily about the game itself coming up. Vikings are coming off a tough loss against Seattle, a game in which was really, really back and forth. The Vikings looked really good for the first half, really had a rough third quarter, then made it a game in the fourth quarter again. I'm just curious, where are your thoughts? Where's the fan base thoughts on this franchise and what could potentially happen in the last few months of the season?
Yeah, well, I think the fan base has, I want to say come around on Kirk Cousins. It's kind of weird for me to say that because I also was like not a huge believer in his capability in like tight situations. So it's not as if I'm saying like, they finally get it. But I think everybody is just kind of decided that Cousins really does kind of have the horses to build an effective offense. And then also in situational football, which is where he's been struggling, I think for most of his career, he's been able to kind of turn it around. So there's that kind of positive side of it. I think the negative side of it is I think the concerns about the defense, especially when it comes to the secondary, I think are basically permanent at this point. I think that people are really concerned that the defense just doesn't have the ability to stop high-level offenses. And as we saw in the third quarter, I mean, there's just moments where they can get rolling, and the Seahawks are a particularly explosive offense where their points can just come in chunks. And so that's kind of just what happened. But this has been kind of representative of a lot of the problems that the Vikings defense has had over the course of the year.
And do you think a lot of that is, Reef, do you think that it has to do with coaching or personnel? I know we've seen quite a bit of a drop off in terms of the narrative surrounding Xavier Rhodes as being like one of the top corners. Where do you see the problems in lying for that Viking secondary being?
I think a lot of it has to do with the personnel. I think the coaching has done a fairly excellent job in terms of kind of designing stuff that's very difficult for quarterbacks to throw on. And we actually saw that in the Seattle game where the big plays really occurred because of execution errors and not because there's just this, you know, fundamental schematic flaw. You know, on the 60-yard touchdown to David Moore, Xavier Rhodes clearly thought there was, you know, safety help when there wasn't. That's just kind of a mental error on his part because all 10 other members of the defense had a pretty good idea of what was supposed to be happening on that play. And that's also kind of representative of the problems that Rhodes has had all year. The rest of the defense, a lot of these players are playing some of the best football of their career, or at least for the past couple of years. And it's kind of difficult to say, hey, you know, coaching is not responsible for like these eight guys having these really amazing years, but also responsible for these three guys just having really poor years, especially I think when we've seen some of the physical drop off that Rhodes has had. And I think against Seattle, you know, we saw it, they were just not effective on the deep ball, you know, that 60-yard touchdown aside. They were 5 of 6 on yards going over 20 yards downfield. And because of that, they were forced to play a game that they're not really used to in the passing game, which I think is a really great sign of coaching. Now, obviously, they succeeded in that alternate passing style, but I think that's kind of the best you can do is put their players in places where they're uncomfortable, put your players in places where they're comfortable, and then just kind of hope your personnel executes. And in this case, they didn't.
Sounds like you got to look out for that David Blau deep ball this week, huh?
Yeah. Purdue quarterbacks have maybe haunted the Vikings a little bit.
Well, it is interesting because that has been a staple of the Lions offense this year, even without Matthew Stafford. They do like to take their deep shots, and that's maybe something that we can look forward to seeing this week. But I want to talk about the Vikings run defense because while it's still pretty darn good, they've had some kind of curious performances lately. Gave up over 200 yards to the Seahawks. Against the Chiefs, they gave up 150 with 8.2 a carry. What's going wrong there? And like I said, I don't want to exaggerate and think and you know say that they're a bad unit or anything, but they certainly don't carry. I guess the fear that they have in years past. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, no, I think it is. What's interesting is that you take a look and say, well, Daniil Hunter is playing really well. Everson Griffin's playing well, both as pass rushers and against the run. Eric Kendricks is having the best year he's ever had. He's a legitimate contender, I think, for all pro. And then you say, hey, well, they allowed, you know, he put 1 yard a carry against the Chiefs, allowed 200 yards, I think over 5 yards a carry against the Seahawks. And you're trying to figure out kind of what the disconnect is there. I think against the Seahawks, one of the problems is that Linval Joseph, he was on a 6-week injury return timetable for his surgery. But because there wasn't any swelling, came back after 3 weeks, I think he's clearly still not there yet. So that was part of it. And I don't think he was available for the Chiefs game, if I remember correctly. And I think that's a big part of it as, you know, kind of this nose tackle that just gums up the middle of the offense in terms of the run fits and what they can do. That's, I think, a pretty big part of it. I think another big part of it is that because they ask their corners to contain so often and because they've been rotating their corners a lot, you know, we've seen Mackenzie Alexander and Holton Hill and Mike Hughes along with Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, and usually not injury related. I mean, Rhodes is always going to miss like a couple of snaps a game for injury, but usually it's not injury related, but because of that, there's sometimes just these contain issues. I think that's mostly it. I mean, it's still a pretty good run defense, like you said. I think by DVOA, it's like 9th. Yep. So, you know, the issues are all kind of relative, and we're trying to figure out kind of why these outliers occur. And I think a lot of it just comes because of an explosive play, because, you know, Joseph or whoever's playing nose tackle that week gets blown off the block. And because of that, there's just a lane, or because they've they've lost contain on the edge, and so there's a lane. It's mostly because of explosive plays and less because somebody's been able to consistently make good gains. And Seattle, to me, I think is maybe the only exception to that, where they're able to generate, along with the tackles for loss, able to generate 8, 10, 11 yards on some carries.
Mm. Yeah, that's some pretty big gouging that they're doing on the Vikings run defense. But flip-flop to the Vikings run offense. And I know there's a little bit concern about Dalvin Cook and the status of his shoulder after the injury that he suffered in the Seahawks game. But this is somebody who had 25 rushes for 142 yards, 2 touchdowns, absolutely carved up the Lions the last time that they met at Ford Field. What do you see his status being going into the game, Arif? And do you think that he's going to be as effective as he was in the prior contest?
Well, he'll be fully ready to go. It's been a pain management issue. That's what I was told before the bye week, that it's primarily a pain management issue. And they basically confirmed that publicly after, you know, we were asking, hey, is he hurt? And they said he's fine. Like after the game, they basically said if he wanted to go back in there, he could have, which I thought was kind of interesting because it's not like the Vikings had secured the game or anything like that.
Right, right.
But it was like precautionary. There's like, you know, 4 weeks left of the season, so that's what they were paying attention to. That's basically it. He'll be ready to go. The concern, at least on my end, is that I think that whatever it is, pain management or whatever, they call it a chest, sometimes it's called a shoulder. It's a clavicle, so it's between the two, so I can understand the confusion, but whatever it is, if he falls the wrong way or if he gets hit in a particular way, it causes apparently just a tremendous amount of pain. And I think that was why he fumbled on that snap that he got injured, or got taken out of the game, I should say. So in some senses should probably reduce his effectiveness. I don't think he thinks, you know, it'll change his running style or anything like that, but I think it's very difficult just as a human to not change the way that you're doing things, at least subconsciously, because of that enormous amount of pain. So yeah, I think he'll probably be less effective. I think you've got to be concerned about ball security in that situation, but in terms of his availability, he'll be there.
While we're sticking with injuries, let's talk about former Lion Riley Reiff. Suffered a concussion against the Seahawks. Given the short week, seems unlikely that he plays this week. Tell us about who's going to take over at left tackle and your confidence level there.
Yeah. Concussion protocol is vague. I have no idea. You know, no one has any idea, but I think you're right that it's unlikely. So they would have Rashad Hill come in. He is a guy they picked off of the Jaguars practice squad a couple years ago. And since then, I think it's demonstrated that as a backup left tackle and backup right tackle, he backs up both positions. He's one of the better backups in the league. I'm really happily surprised to see kind of his level of play, because the state of backup level offensive line play in the NFL is just pretty abysmal. So his ability to, I think, play at a starting quality level, I think is there. He struggled a little bit this preseason, so I was kind of concerned, but you know, he came in and played and he did a pretty good job against Jadeveon Clowney. Not as a run blocker, but as a pass protector, he did a pretty good job there. So, and that kind of characterizes his game. He's a much better pass protector than he is a run blocker. And he's always had strength issues, and he always, you know, he used to have these weird set issues, but, he's kind of fixed his pass set. So, he's difficult to take advantage of as a pass protector, but he is still kind of a backup playing as a starter. So there's going to be opportunities there. He's just not as good as Reiff. And Reiff is basically just kind of an average left tackle anyway. So it's a liability, but it's not as big a liability as I think it would be for most teams or has been for the Vikings in the past.
All right. Before we get into our predictions for the week, I kind of want to wrap it all up and just kind of have your thoughts, since, I mean, we care about the Vikings. They're in the division. So what do you think is the ceiling of this team right now? Where do you think they go? I mean, obviously, it looks like they're headed for the playoffs, whether they win the division or not. Is this a Super Bowl contending team? Is this a team that won't get out of wild card weekend? I look at Minnesota Vikings fans, and they seem to be some of the most Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde fans out there, just with every... I mean, the Seahawks game was a perfect example, because they look great for one quarter, then bad for another. And I see Vikings fans convinced, like, they're going to blow a playoff spot, and then the next moment they think this team is Super Bowl bound. So where are you in this wild conundrum, this wild continuum of Vikings fandom right now?
The quick switch to pessimism is a very Vikings fan trait,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
I think just given the history of the franchise, it's pretty easy to understand.
Sure.
I would say if you were to stack up the talent and if every position was equal in terms of its importance, they would absolutely be, you know, a Super Bowl team. They're an incredibly talented team, and that shows out in a bunch of games. But I think when you take a look at kind of which positions matter the most, obviously, you know, you've got quarterback, but Cousins is playing well. But after that, it might be cornerback. And at cornerback, they just seemingly don't have the talent there to consistently compete, and they don't make up for it with their quarterback. He's just very good. He's not great. So I would argue that, yeah, they're absolutely a playoff team, and they should threaten in the playoffs, and they could be dangerous, and they can kind of ruin someone's day. But I don't think they can win four straight. And that's what you need. So, especially when the four straight includes at the end, you know, the Chiefs, Ravens, or Patriots. That sounds impossible right now. So I don't think they can win the Super Bowl. I think they can do enough, maybe show up in a conference championship game again, which is like a nightmare. Like, I think Vikings fans are very happy with wild card games, divisional games, and it's been a while since they've been to a Super Bowl, so they'll probably be comfortable in the Super Bowl. But the conference championship game itself, that's stressful.
Are you sure they're so comfortable with divisional games, Arif? Because the Minnesota Miracle resulted in such a disaster for the Vikings.
Right, just, plays just never go for them, you know, Minnesota Miracle and whatnot.
Oh, bugger. All right, let's move to the one thing we think we know, where we give our one prediction for the game. Doesn't have to be a score prediction. It can be a prediction about anything that happens in the game. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. What is the one thing you think you know about Lions-Vikings Week 14?
The one thing I think I know, I'm sorry, it's not really related to the game. It's related to Twitter. And one thing I think I know is that people will not give enough of a shit as far as Lions fans go to change their avatars to Baby Yodas to troll Arif.
Thank God. Oh my God.
I don't even know what that's in reference to, but I like it.
Lucky you. Every single Seahawks fan, Mina Kimes, eventually the Seahawks own Twitter account, all of them changed their avatars to Russell Wilson dressed up as Baby Yoda. Which, by the way, is getting out of control.
It's a phenomenal Photoshop, but it's very difficult to appreciate after just a weekend of bombardment.
Fair enough. Arif, what's the one thing you think you know about this Week 14 matchup?
I think so the Vikings didn't throw it deep very often against the Seahawks. I think they think that's a mistake. So I think they'll have five shots or more downfield against the Lions. And I wouldn't be surprised if that meant that Diggs goes for like 150 or something like that. But the prediction is five shots or more downfield.
I like it. My prediction is that the one thing I think I know is that David Blau's his shine will tarnish a little bit. I'm sorry.
The honeymoon is eternal.
I like David Blau, and we all like Jeff Driskel after one or two weeks as well. But
not
this
true.
Vikings
well,
defense.
I never liked Jeff Driskel.
Oh, well, okay. Some people did. But this is a tough Vikings defense. This is an impossible environment playing in Minnesota, a Minnesota team that's going to be hungry coming off of a tough loss, of a Minnesota fan base that is loud and very, very annoying, but also very nice. It's not going to be great for David Blau. We've seen Matthew Stafford get beat the hell up in that stadium before. I don't like David Blau's chances. The tarnish comes a little bit, but you know what? I don't think fans should necessarily get upset over it. The Vikings tend to make a lot of quarterbacks look bad. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for First Bite. Thanks again, Arif Hassan, for joining us. Where can people reach you, Arif, if they want to catch some of your stuff?
You can find me on Twitter, like so many Seahawks fans have, at Arif Hassan NFL. That's ARIFHASAN NFL. Or you can find my work over at The Athletic. I've also got a couple of podcasts, Norse Code and The Zone Coverage Football Machine.
All right. Thanks again for joining us. Ryan, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate you being part of the show. And I appreciate y'all for listening as well. We will see you Bayside High.